Okay, we're going to start here on the bottom of Gimel Amud Bet, the last two words. V'amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Now, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, we've seen a number of memorot from Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi in the previous Amud, and we're going to have more on this Amud. And truthfully, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi has a very large or disproportionate impact on the halachot of Megillah, as well as Purim, because of the statements that he makes over these dapim. So here again is another statement by Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, which is, Lod, Ve'ono, Vege Hecharashim, Mukafot Choma Mishmot Yeshua Binun Avu. These three cities have a classification of having a wall around them from the time of Yeshua Binun. It says, Vahani Yeshua Binanhi. Did Yeshua really build these cities? Vaha El Pa'al Binanhi. They were built by El Pa'al. Dichtiv. It says, Uvne El Pa'al. Ever Umisham Vashamer. Hubanat ono vedlod uvnoteha. And you have here a statement in Divrei HaYamim that says that these cities were built by El Pa'al and not by Yoshua Binun. Mar says Ulu Tameich, according to your reasoning, if you're already going to enter into Divrei HaYamim, then Asa Baninhi. Then Asa, the king of Yehuda, built them. Dichtiv, because it says, Vayasa vayvein arei mitzura biYehuda. He built these fortified cities in Yehuda. So it seems from here that he added on these cities, and we'll say later on, that these included these cities that were in the area of Binyamin. El Pa'al is part of Shevet Binyamin. He's brought in Divrei Yamim under the descendants of Binyamin. Nevertheless, even though Asa is a king of Yehuda, he has a very successful Malchut. He eliminates all the bamot, and he's so successful that he has extra time to actually go and fortify all the cities around Yehuda, including these cities that are in the side of Binyamin, or in the area of Binyamin, as Rashi points out, that Binyamin, or Shevet Binyamin, was under the authority, or the rulership of Yehuda, that Yehuda and Binyamin remained together, even though the rest of the Shvatim of Yosef and everyone else breaks away to create Malchut Yisrael. Binyamin stays back and remains with Yehuda. And you see that in the case of Rechavam and Yeravam, when they split there, that Binyamin stays along with Yehuda. So now, the Gemara's answer is, Amar Rabbi Lazar, Hani Mukafot Choma Mimot Yoshua Binun Havu. That they first of all were walled cities from the time of Yoshua Binun. Haruv Bimei Pilegesh Bigiva. They were destroyed during the battles of Pilegesh Bigiva when the rest of Klal Yisrael gathers against Shevet Binyamin. So they destroyed these cities in Binyamin. Ve'ata El Pa'al Baninu. And then El Pa'al comes back and rebuilds them. Hadur Inpul. Then they either went into disuse, they were conquered, or they fell apart. Ata Asa Shaptsinu. Asa comes along and renovates them and improves them. Deganami, that you can midayek from the Pasuk in Divrei Hayamim. It's two Pasukim. It's in the Pasuk after the one that we just quoted before, which is Vayomer Liuda Nivne et Hayrim Eile. That would let us go build out these cities. Michlal, the Arim Havu Miikara. The fact that he's already calling them cities means that they already have a status of a city. So why is he building them? Because he's refortifying them. He's rebuilding the walls of those cities. So these cities that are mentioned here, they were Mukofot Choma Mishmot Yoshua Binun, but they went through many iterations, including losing their walls during the campaign of Pilegesh Begiva, having them rebuilt by El Pa'al from Bin Shevet Binyamin, and then again renovated or improved by Asa Melech Yehuda, when he goes and reinforces all the cities around Yehuda because of the great prosperity of his kingdom. Right now we have another statement by Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Nashim chayavot b'mikra migila. Women are chayavot b'mikra migila. She'af ein hayu b'oto anes. Because they were also included in the miracle of Purim. She'af ein hayu b'oto anes brings the Machloka that we see anytime this phrase is used in Shas. Rashi over here says, Sha'af ena yubo to anesh, Sha'af ala nishim gazar haman. That they were in the same safek of the harog dashmir labedet ko yudim. So they were subject to the same gzerot, or the same dangers as everyone else. And therefore they are equally obligated to praise Hashem and to perform the mitzvot as a thank you or hodah al Hashem for being saved. That's the way Rashi explains it over here. Tosafot quotes from the Rashbam, and the Rashbam in Psachim brings this as well as Rashi in Psachim also brings this down, which is not only where Afin Ayuto Moto Anes means that they were participants, that they were a part of those that were saved, but rather Sheikar Nes Nasel Yadan, that the major miracle of salvation came through women. B'Purim Hayidei Esther, the main character of Purim is Esther. B'Chanukah, we have the story of Yehudit, who successfully kills one of the Greek generals that turns the tide of the battle. And Pesach, we know, B'Zchut Nashim Tzidkaniot, of Oto Dor, Nigalu Mimitzrayim. So the women were pivotal players, the main characters in the salvation of Bnei Yisrael. That's why it says, Shafein Ayu Oto Hanes. The Tosafot questions that and says, Lashon of Af seems to mean someone that is secondary, somebody that is a corollary to the main thing, which is Afhein. They were also a part of the Nes, which would make more sense, like Rashi is explaining it, which is, means that Shafein Ayu Oto Safek. They were in the same trouble or the same difficulty faced by the men, and maybe sometimes even more than that of the men. Tosafot over here asks about the fact that the Gabe Matzah, we have a Hekesh, which tells us that women are Chayavot in Matzah because they are Chayavot in Baal Tochal Chametz. Just like they are Chayavot in not eating Chametz, so they are Chayavot in eating Matzah because the Pasuk by Chametz and Matzah juxtaposes the two of them to teach you that din. And Tosafot says, why do we have to go in that direction? Why don't we simply say, Af hein ayu b'oto anes? When it comes to Pesach, Af hein ayu b'oto anes, it's enough to be mechayev them in dal kosot. Why isn't it enough to take care of the chiyuv by matzah? So Tosafot over here says, because there's a possibility that we would make a gzera shava of tedvav to sukkah, and we'd be poter them. The truth is that the same question exists by sukkah. Why are they p'turot from sukkah? Why don't we say, Af hein ayu b'oto anes? So the answer that Tosafot gives in other places is that Af hein ayu b'oto anes is only a mechayev midrabanan. So he says it here, he mentions it in sukkah as well, that Af hein ayu b'oto anes is only a rabbinic level obligator, and therefore we can only utilize it in cases when we're talking about mitzvot derabanan. When we're talking about mitzvot doraita, like matzah and sukkah, then we need some other reason to be given. Now, there are two answers in Tosafot. The other answer believes that Af hein ayu b'oto anes even works by mitzvot doraita, and therefore they'll have to come up with other reasons as to why we couldn't utilize it by cases of sukkah and matzah. It is also brought in the name of the Rabbeinu Tam to explain that women are chayavot in Sudah Shlishit on Shabbat, as well as Lechem Mishneh in Sudah Shlishit, because Af hein ayu b'oto anes, that they were part of the nes of Lechem Mishneh and the man, and therefore they should be obligated in those items, despite the fact that it might not be part of the integral part of Shabbat, where women are chayavot in anything that's to do with Shabbat because of the correlation between zechira and asiyah, which is that anything where they have a lotase in Shabbat, they're also obligated in the asay, anything that is a positive commandment on Shabbat, that only has to do with things that are specifically related to the melachot and the zechira of Shabbat. But lechem mishneh might be something that's independent. There you would have thought, no. And then the Rabbeinu Tam quotes, Shafein ayu b'oto anes. That's an obligator for them. So we see that there are Rishonim are willing to invoke this principle, even when it comes to Dinei Doraita, and that's one of the answers that Tosafot brings. But many believe that it's only in a case of Dinei Dirabanan. Rav Soloveitchik always said that Afein ayu b'oto anes is only a mechayev when there's persume nisa involved. That Af hein ayu b'oto anes is a corollary to persume nisa. So when the primary factor that's driving the mitzvah is persume nes, then Af hein ayu b'oto anes is a reason to include you in the mitzvah persume nisa. And that's why all of the mitzvot that deal with Af hein ayu b'oto anes is part of this concept of persume nisa. Nerot Chanukah, Mikra Megillah, Dalet Kosot on Pesach, they all have these trappings of persume nisa, and therefore Af hein ayu b'oto anes is a sufficient obligator to bring the women into the mitzvah in that case. But that's only when persume nisa is the ikar, by matzah and by sukkah, where that's not the case. Obviously, Af hein ayu b'oto anes is not necessarily relevant in that case, because the primary factor is not persume nisa. The other thing that's important to address over here, and it is not so simple, it is a big halachic question, is the statement of the Gemara here, that Nashim Chayavot b'mikra Megillah. The women are Chayavot b'mikra Megillah. Right away, Tosfot says, Mikan Mashmo, From here, it sounds like Shenashim motziot et acherim yedei chuvatan. That women not only can archayavot in Megillah, but they also can discharge other people's obligation with regards to Mikra Megillah. Midilok amar lishma Mikra Megillah. It makes a clear distinction here that the Gemara doesn't say women are chayavot to hear the Megillah. It says that women are chayavot to read the Megillah. If they are obligated to read the Megillah, then they're on the same level of obligation as men, and therefore they should be able to discharge the obligation of men or even the tzibur based on this. Tosafot then backtracks on that statement based on the Bahag, and the Baal Halachot Gedolot really turns out to be a pivotal person in this sugya by saying that women are not chayavot in Mikra Megillah. Wait a minute. Rabbi Shu ben Levi just says here, Nashim chayavot be Mikra Megillah. That's actually premised on a Tosefta. The Tosefta says in Megillah, Perek Bet, says, Akol chayavim be Mikra Megillah, and at the end it says, Nashim, Vavadim, Uktanim, Pturim, Ve'ein Motzim et Arabim Midei Chovatan. Nashim, Vavadim, Uktanim are Pturim from Mikra Megillah, and they cannot discharge the public's obligation with regards to Mikra Megillah. So based on that, the Tosefta says women are not chayavot. So now, many of the Rishonim say the Tosefta is either Mishubeshet, if there's a mistake in the Tosefta, or it argues on our Gemara, because our Gemara clearly says Chayavot, and the Tosefta says Turot, so we don't have to listen to it. But the Bahag gives credence to this Tosefta, and then on top of that, he says that the reason that our Gemara says Chayavot means that women are Chayavot with Mishma Megillah, to hear the Megillah. And if you look in the Rabbeinu Chananel, his girsa is actually in that way, which is Amar Rabbi Yeshua, Nashim chayavot lishmoa mikra Megillah, to hear the reading of the Megillah, Shafein hayu boto anes, to hear the Megillah, not to read the Megillah. Now, once you've done that, according to the Bahag, you've changed the nature of the obligation of the women. If you change the nature of the obligation of the women, then the din would actually be different, that they would not be able to be Motzi men, because they have a different level or a different nature of obligation with regards to Mikra Megillah. And so that would make them separate. Now, once you've done that, even if you agree with the Bahag, many of the Rishonim then ask, if you do create this division that the Bahag makes, number one is, do women make a different brocha on the Megillah? Instead of making an Mikra Megillah, do they say, Lishmoa et Megillah, like we do by Shofar, Lishmoa kol Shofar? And many of the Rishonim believe that that is the case, that women would make the bracha of Lishmoa et Megillah rather than Al-Mikra Megillah. Number two is, what about women with other women? Okay, maybe you've now said that women cannot discharge the obligation of men because they have a different mitzvah. On the other hand, what about women to women? Maybe one woman should be able to be motzi another woman, because they both have the same level of obligation of Lishmoa et Megillah. And not only can a woman then discharge one woman's obligation, but even in a public sense could discharge many women's obligations. So many of the Rishonim say that that is the case, that women can be motzi nashim, other women in Mikra Megillah, even if you subscribe to the Bahag's statement that with regards to Mikra Megillah, the women are not chayavot. It's only with regards to Lishmoa et Megillah that they are chayavot. But once you've made that step, nevertheless, they can then be motzi each other in the mitzvah Mikra Megillah. If you don't hold like the Bahag, or if you believe that women can be motzi men in Mikra Megillah, or possibly even if you don't think that, can women be mitzarfot? Can they join together to be counted towards the 10 of the minyan? Because the minyan here has a different purpose. It's not the purpose of the normal things which are Dvarim Shibikdusha require a minyan, where women do not count. But over here, the reason for having 10 is for the din of Persume Nisa. If women are Chayavot in the midst of Persume Nisa, maybe they should be able to be Mitztarfot. They should be able to join together to make up the 10, the requisite 10 that you need to have the Persume Nisa that's associated with a Tzibur. And that is true according to some of the Rishonim. Many of the Rishonim say they cannot be mitzarfot, just like by benching or by zimun, they cannot be mitzarfot, so too over here. Other Rishonim are willing to be mechalek and say that there should be a difference, and that it should be a davar pashut that women can be mitzterefet, and they can join the 10 to make up the persume nisa that is required over here. So if you look, I'll send out the mikorot. There are different opinions amongst the Rishonim, but really from very early on, the Rishonim are arguing about this. The Bahag is a big factor in this sugya. One other thing to note is that if a woman has already been yotzei the mitzvah Megillah or already read the Megillah, then in all likelihood she should not read it for someone else, and even another woman, because there's some question as to whether women have a din of arevut. Do they have the ability to yatzah motzi? After they've already discharged their obligation with regards to a mitzvah, they can still help someone else do the mitzvah. By men, yatzah motzi, because there's a din of arevut, that we're jointly responsible for the mitzvot. That means that someone else's responsibility is also your responsibility. But by women, there may not be a din of arevut, and therefore if a woman has already discharged her obligation, already read the Megillah, or heard the Megillah, she should not read it for other women in that case. There are some who want to suggest that women can't even read the Megillah for themselves. That this idea of women are chayavot in Mishma Megillah and hearing the Megillah basically takes them out of the possibility of Mikra Megillah, of actually reading the Megillah for, even for themselves. So we say in the end that if a woman cannot hear the Megillah, she should read it for herself if there's no other choice, but that would not be our primary choice or our first choice for the women. Again, the Rambam seems to say, and Rashi says this in Arachim straight out, that women are chayavot on plain, on equal terms as men, and they could be motzi men in Kriyata Megillah. The halacha, the Shulchan Aruch brings down, Hakol chayavim b'kriyata, anashim v'nashim v'gerim v'avadim shulcharim. So they quotes women in those that are chayavim in kriyata. But then he brings at the end, v'yeshomrim, she'anashim anashim enan motziyat anashim. The women cannot discharge the obligation of the men. And the Roma says over there, v'yeshomrim, ma'isha kora la'atzma mevarechet lishma migidah. But one reads for herself, she has to make the bracha lishma migidah, she'ena chayavet b'kriyata, because she's not personally obligated in reading the Megillah. And the Magen Avraham paskins in the end, that upsura, that in the end, perush upsulot mipnei kvoda tzibur. Lachain, afilu liachid ein motziot delo plug. Magen Avraham concludes that women should not read because of kvoda tzibur, the same reason the Gemara will give later on for why they are not included in the aliyot and kriyat Torah, is because it's not kvoda tzibur. The same would be true by Mikra Megillah, according to the Magen Avraham. He says that then it becomes a low plug. Even if it's not in a public setting and there's no problem with kvoda tzibur, we just basically disallow women being motzi others because of the fear of the fact that they might do it with tzibur where it wouldn't be kvoda tzibur. Right, then the Mishnah Brura in codifying the halacha says, ubitzat mekomot nogim shem ochot debeit knesset leizrat nashim lishma kriyah. And in some places, there was a minhag that women actually attended shul on Purim in order to hear the Megillah. Just a side problem, a practical problem, is that in the women's section in this day, they really couldn't hear the Megillah clearly. So why does that help them to go to shul? The Yushami brings down that there were Amoraim that actually, after they read Megillah in shul, they would go home and read for their families. And that would seem to be the more common practice, was in the home, the Megillah was read for those of the home, meaning the children and the wives. The women had their Megillah read privately or in the home, and they didn't necessarily attend the shul. And now he says, "V'yeshomrim shanashim inan motziot," which is the Bahag Shita, "v'lo dami l'ner Chanukah." It's not like ner Chanukah where women can light and be motzi the men. The shani Megillah davam l'kamol kriyata Torah. It's like kriyata Torah, like the Magen Avraham says. Upsula mipnei kvoda tzibur, and therefore they're disqualified or disallowed because of kvoda tzibur. Lachein afilu yachid ena motziya mishum lo plug. That's the din of the Magen Avraham. Gam devshar dishayne chayevet b'kriya rak lishmoa. Might be that she has no mitzvah to read the Megillah whatsoever. Aval isha motziya et chaverta. In the end, the Mishnah Berurah says, bottom line is that another woman can be motzi a woman. And then he says, aval nashim rabot. In Aisha Motzian, he says that in the Shaar Tzion, because the Zile Be Milta, it's not appropriate for women to read in a public setting, even for other women, it's not becoming, it's Zile Behu Milta. Then the Magen Avraham writes, Va'ayin b'Magen Avraham, he says, Shmetzadeh lo tikra la'atzma klal, that a woman shouldn't read for herself at all. Rak tishma ma'anashim. She's going to hear it from men. Aval imeinla, if she has no choice, then she can read it for herself. And again, the bracha they make when they read for themselves is Asher kedishanu mitzvah b'tzivan lishmoa mikra migila. All right, so that's the way that the Mishnah Berurah paskens. And then in the Bar Aloha, he brings down what I said before, that if a woman already read the Megillah, she should not be motzi someone else in the Megillah. As far as why this is the case, the Turei Evin brings down an answer, which actually impact us in the Gemara, upcoming Gemara, which is he says that the obligation on men and women is different. That the obligation of men comes from the Megillah itself. That's from the Anshei Knesset Gadolah, Divrei Nevi'im, that men are chayavim in Mikra Megillah. The obligation of women actually stems from Afeina Yuba Oto Anes, which, as Tosfos pointed out here, is a rabbinic obligation. And therefore, the Turei Evin says the difference between the men and the women here is the nature of their obligation. The obligation of the men is an obligation midivrei neviim mi'anshei knesset gedolah. In that obligation, women have no place, and that's what the Tosefta is speaking about, the Nashim are pturot. The obligation that's mentioned here in our Gemara is an imposition derabanan. That says that their chiyuv is midirabanan because afeina yuba oto anes, and because afeina yuba oto anes, we include them. But that means that they're not a parity with the obligation that the men have, because their obligation is only midirabanan, whereas the men's obligation is midivrei nevi'im or mi'anshei knesset ha'gdola. So that's one distinction that the Turei Evin brings in order to explain why there should be a difference in the nature of the obligation between the men and the women. The Avnei Nezer brings an additional difference between them, and he says that if the obligation of Mikra Megillah is simply Persume Nisa, then there's no reason that you should have an obligation to read the Megillah. Your only obligation is to hear the Megillah. And therefore, the obligation, and the Avnei Nezer's statement is true both for men and women, the whole obligation of reading the Megillah is Persume Nisa, then it's sufficient to hear the Megillah. You don't need to read the Megillah, which would indicate there is no obligation to read the Megillah. So then why do we read the Megillah? Why is it called Al Mikra Megillah? Aside from the fact that in order to hear it, you need to read it. But why do we say that? Because he's Ach Be'emet Yesh B'Kriyat Megillah Mishum Zichirat Amalek. He says that in the Kriyat Megillah, you also accomplish a separate mitzvah of Zichirat Amalek, and that comes out of the Kriyat Megillah. Now, in terms of the obligation of Zechirat Amalek, he quotes the Sefer Achinuch, who says that the mitzvah of Zechirat Amalek only applies to men and not to women, because men are chayavim in the battle and the war against Amalek, so they're the ones that are also obligated in Zechirat or Mechiyat Amalek, whereas women are not. And since women are not, therefore they're not obligated in the Mikra Megillah side of it, because the Mikra Megillah side of it is done b'shomea ke'onet about Zechirat Amalek. That the men are obligated in, and the men have that obligation of kriya, and they are discharging it through Shomei HaKeoneh. On the other hand, the Persume Nisa side, which applies also to the women, is only an obligation of shmiya, of hearing. And therefore, there is no din of Shomei HaKeoneh, and there's no din that equates them to the men, because the men have a separate obligation, which is the obligation of Mechiyat Amalek. Now, what happens if a person reads the Megillah and doesn't hear the Megillah? Do they accomplish Persume Nisa? In the end, the Avnei Nezer says that it is the case, that they do accomplish the mitzvah of Persume Nisa by reading it, because obviously, in order to hear it, one has to read it. And by reading it alone, for instance, a cheresh who can't hear what they're reading, they would still be yotze the mitzvah of Persume Nisa. That's the distinction, another reason for the distinction between the men and the women with regards to their obligations in Kriyat HaMegillah, why one of them is Mikra and one of them is Mishma, either because the nature of the Chiyuv is different, like we said, it's one's Mi Anshei Knesset Gedolah, one's the Rabbanan, or the other reason brought by the Avnei Nezer is the difference or the distinction between the requirement of Persume Nisa and Mechiyat HaMalek. Mechiyat HaMalek adds another dimension to the Chiyuv, which he says is only uniquely on the men, based on the Sefer Achinuch with Zechirat HaMalek. Right, so that's with the Sugyor with regards to women. But now we have another statement. Amar Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, Purim shechaliot b'Shabbat. If Purim falls out on Shabbat, sholim v'doshim b'nyano shel yom. You ask and you doresh in yano shel yom. You give a shear on the Megillah, I give a shir on Purim. I says, my area of Purim, what's so unique about Purim in this way? I feel like Yom Tov Nami, any Yom Tov that falls out on Shabbat, you're Doresh in the Yom Tov on that day. The Tanya, Moshe, Diken, Lemis, Yosh, Yush, Olim, Doshim, and Yenosh, Yom. That when it came to the holiday, they ask the halachot, and they get a drusha about the Inyana Diyoma. Hilchot Pesach, Pesach, Hilchot Tzeret, Tzeret. The halachot of Pesach on Pesach, halachot of Shavuot on Shavuot, Hilchot Chag Bechag, the halachot of Sukkah on Sukkot. Purim mitzrichele, the Gemara says, no, we need Purim anyway. Ma'udotemen nigzor mishum derabbo. Maybe we should be gozer mishum rabba, gamash malon. No, we don't. The gzer of rabba, which we'll get to a little bit later in our daf today, is the gzera that why we don't read Megillah on Shabbat is because Shema yavirenu dal ramot birshuta rabim. So the same reason that we suspend the reading of the Megillah on Shabbat, maybe we should also suspend learning about the Megillah on Shabbat, because it might lead to the same problem, which is the carrying of the Megillah. But in the end, we say no, that Kamash Malan, that it's okay. And based on that, we are Doresh in the Inyana Diyoma, so that people have an experience of Purim on the day of Purim. So therefore, they will be Doresh Digir to Purim Bir Rabim, and they will get a flavor of Purim, even though they can't read the Megillah. Obviously, today, that can't happen because Yudalid never falls out on Shabbat, based on our calendar, so you won't have Purim on Shabbat. The only time you can have Purim on Shabbat is for Tedvav, for the 15th, where Yerushalayim and those walled cities from the time Yeshua Binun are affected, they can have Purim fall out on Shabbat, and that leads to what we call Purim Mishulash, which we won't address right now, but it is a complex way of dividing up the Purim over 3 days in order to have them do the mitzvot on Friday, Shabbat, and Sunday in Yerushalayim, to deal with all the different issues that come up with regards to Purim. Rashi says the reason that you would say the Gzer Rabba applies by the Drosha is because Afkan Gazru Drosha to Kriya. That the Drosha would lead to Kriya Tamigilah, so it's all part of the same package. Which is, in order to prevent people from doing or getting involved in the Megillah, maybe that would be an extension of that same Gzerah. Kamash Malan is that it's not. It's something different or completely different. But there is a Havamina that learning about the Megillah or being engaged about the topic of the Megillah will lead someone to want to read the Megillah and then go to the Chacham in order to have him help him out with the Kriyata Megillah. I mean, that's the conclusion of the Gemara here. Based on the conclusion of the Gemara here, you would say the same thing by the Arba Minim. I don't know, the Gemara doesn't raise it by the Arba Minim, because here you don't have that statement of Yeshua ben Levi. The statement of Yeshua ben Levi is what precipitates the question. So Rabbi Shimon Levi makes a statement and says, why would you have thought otherwise? Mar gives a possibility of why you would have thought otherwise. But the truth is, the conclusion is, like Rabbi Shimon Levi, Mar just wants to know, why is that a chiddush? So it gives a reason why it's a little bit of a chiddush. But in the end, you're right. That is the conclusion of the Gemara, that anytime it comes to a drasha, it is not brought under the same rubric as the gzeira of Arba Minim, Shofar, and Kriyata Megillah. Now, Rabbi Shimon ben Levi. An additional statement, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Chayav Adam likrot et Megillah b'layla v'lishnota b'yom. It's an obligation for a person to read the Megillah at night, and then, in the daytime, lishnota. Shenemar, because it says in the Pasuk, Elokai ikra yomam v'lo taneh, v'layla v'lo dumia li. So here is a Pasuk that is brought from Tehillim Perchav Bet. Tehillim Cherechav Bet is L'Matzeach Alayelat HaShachar Mizmor de David, which we learned is associated with Esther. And since this is the Perek Tehillim that is associated with Esther and Purim, in there it says, L'Matzeach Alayelat HaShachar Mizmor de David, Keli, Keli, Lama Zavtani, Rachok Mishuati Divrei Shagati, Elokai Yekrai Yomam V'lo Taneh. I call out during the day, you're not answering, V'layla, and at night, v'lo dumayali, and I don't have any rest. I don't have any respite from calling out because I haven't been answered. They're calling out to Hashem to answer them in a time of difficulty, in a time of challenge. And it says there, ekra yomam and v'layla. You read in the day and you read at night. So based on that, we would say that you have to read the Megillah both in daytime and the nighttime. So for Mina, some wanted to conclude. I mean, the Bnei Yeshiva wants to conclude from the statement of Yeshua ben Levi. They thought from this, L'mikrei b'leilia, to read the Megillah at night, v'lemitna matnit indida b'yomama, and to learn the Mishnayot of Megillah during the day. That's what it means, lishnota. Lishnota means, from a lashon of Mishnah, is to learn the Mishnayot. So you would read the Megillah at night and learn the Mishnayot during the day. So I'm a little Rabbi Yirmiyah, the Didi, mefarshali minei, the Rabbi Chir, ba'avak, yon, This is the way the colloquially people speak. Evor parshata da. Let me go over this parsha. Ve'it niya. And then repeat it and chazer over it. Ve'it niya doesn't mean to learn Mishnayot necessarily. It means to chazer or to review. And that's why it's called Mishnah as well. Because it's something that you continue to continuously review in order to remember it by heart. That's the same thing with Mishnah Torah, right? The Mishnah Torah is lishanot, is to learn again or to go over. So now, based on that, Itmanami, we have a member of Amoraim that supports it, which is Amar Bichal Bar Meula, Bira, the Bira is from, but he's from Biri, Itmar, that is, Chayav Adam Likrot at the Megillah B'Laylo, one has to read the Megillah at night, Lishnota B'Yom, and repeat it during the day, Shenemar, says in the Pasuk, in the Mizmor Shir L'Chanukat HaBayit, L'man Yizamarcha Kavod V'lo Yidom, Shem Elokai L'Olam Odeka. And again, this Mizmor Tehillim has a drush on it, that it refers to Mordechai Esther, Aman Achashverosh, and it says in the pasuk, which is Yizamarcha Kavod, Kavod during the day, Velo Yidom Balayla, and I will not be silent at night. So again, the requirement to read it during the day and the night. Now, as David pointed out, both of the proof texts that we bring state that the Yom before the Laila, and Tosafot brings that in the end. The last Tosafot on the Amud says, "Chaydav Adam Likrot Migla B'Lav Lishon Tuyom." Omri Da'af Agav Demerech Zman B'Laila. Even though you make a Shechianu at night, you also make a Shechianu during the day. De'ikar Pirsume Nisa VeBikriya DeYomama. The major kriya is during the day, and not at night. The night kriya is secondary, and the primary kriya is during the daytime. Just like the Ikar Suda is during the Yom, and not at night. So the Ikar of the Mitzvot, of the Asiyah and Purim is during the day, and therefore the Zechira, the Ikar Kriyat HaMegillah, is also during the day, which makes the daytime the primary reading, and the nighttime reading the secondary or the extra reading that you do. Now that is not borne out by the statement of Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi. Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi's statement almost sounds exactly opposite, which is that you read it at night, and then you read it again during the day, meaning that you read it already at night, now you do it again in the daytime. But that might only have to do with the chronological order of the day, which is saying that you read it at night, you still have to read it during the day. But that's not telling you the hierarchy or the stacking of the weight of these mitzvot. In truth, the daytime mitzvah is the primary mitzvah, and the nighttime is only an addition. And there are many who believe that there's actually a difference in the obligation. The obligation to read the Megillah during the day might be an obligation, midibrei nevi'im, mi'anshei kineset agdola, whereas the reading at nighttime may be only an obligation, midirabanan, to read it at night. And that's what also changed the dynamic as to why we make a brocha during the day, even after we made a brocha at night, because the nature of the obligation, the mitzvah, is different during the day than it is at night. And this is what I said before, it goes back to what we said by the women, that the women's obligation in Mikra Megillah might be different from the men because of exactly this difference, which is, according to the Turei Evin, that the mitzvah on the men is an obligation, mi divrei anshei kneset agdola, whereas the women are only chayavot, mi derabanan. That same distinction might apply to the difference between reading during the day and the reading at night. That's one thing. Even though, again, Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi's statement does not sound like that. Number two is, David asks, the psukim don't talk about Mikra Megillah, the psukim talk about the desperate situation in which the Jews found themselves, that they were calling out to Hashem at night, and they were calling out to Hashem during the day. So if you see from the second pasuk they bring, which is about Yizamercha, which is praising Hashem, what is the result of the salvation that Hashem grants us? So just like the salvation came from us calling out at night and during the day, so the Shevach, the praise that you give to Hashem, should match the difficulty in which we found ourselves. And since Kriyat HaMegillah is Shevachu, where we're mefarsem et hanes, it goes along with the difficulty that we faced, or the times of trouble that we faced, which were both at night and during the day. Therefore, we also read the Megillah. So the Megillah is a response to that difficulty when Hashem did bring the salvation to us. And that's why that Pasuk, which seems to be referring to the calling out of the Tefillah, is also a source for the fact that Megillah is read at night as well as during the day. All right, here Tosafot just brings, it's an interesting Tosafot in the middle here about a Psak Halacha, about the day of Purim, which is that the nature of the day of Purim, how one sets up the day, one can take a look at it. One of the things that's very, very interesting in the Tosafot there is Kishem. There used to be a Tefillah that went along with Al HaNisim, which was just like Hashem saved us in the times of our forefathers, He should also save us today. Which actually the Gemara mentions in other places, when we commemorate Geulah and we commemorate events in which Hashem brought us salvation, we should always add on a tefillah then, that just like He helped us then, you should help us in the future. So Tosfot says that you shouldn't say this kashem when it comes to Al Nisim. There are those who said the reason was because it's found in the Gimel Achronot. It's found in the three latter brachot, and the three latter brachot, you're not allowed to add anything into the three latter brachot. Now Tosfot says that's not true. You're allowed to add in things to the latter brachot if you ask it b'tam rabim and not tam yachid. An individual can't make requests in the three latter brachot of Hoda'a and Shmon Esrei, but a tzibur can ask as a whole, or a tzibur can make statements as a whole. And since Al Nisim is written in the plural and has to do with the tzibur, it would be permissible. So then Tosfot says, but there's a different reason why you can't say kashem. Because the brachot at the end of Shmos, the three last brachot are called the brachot of Hoda'a, praise to Hashem. And kashem is thematically incorrect in that context. So to say kashem and ask for a tefillah that Hashem should bring us that same salvation today would be inappropriate in the brachot of Hoda'a. And that's why he says we don't say kashem. Kashem doesn't belong there because of the fact that it is a tefillah latid and not part of Hoda'a, and therefore it's contextually incorrect to add in that tefillah. Then Tosafot gives the rest of the layout of the nighttime as well as the daytime, how we read the Megillah. And then he mentions at the end that the Shir Shel Hayom that you read for Purim is L'Menatzeach Al Ayelet HaShachar, which is those who follow the practice of the Gra in Eretz Yisrael say that Perek Tehillim, Perek Chav Bet on Purim as the Shir Shel Hayom. Okay, now the Gemara continues with the issue of El Shekfarim Makdimim Yom HaKnisa, that the Kfarim have this dispensation to go back to the Yom HaKnisa to Monday or Thursday. Samar Rav Chanina, Chachamim Ekilu Al HaKfarim Liot Makdimim Yom HaKnisa. Chachamim gave a dispensation, they were lenient with regards to these villages, that they go back to the Monday or Thursday. Kedei Shisapku Mayim Mazon HaChem Shibukachim, so they should be available to provide the water and food to the people in the larger cities. Again, we discussed this on the Mishnah. Rashi says that means on Purim day itself. The Rabbeinu Chananel says, no, that means on Monday and Thursday they'll come and provide it because they won't have come in an extra day for Purim on that week. But either way, they're servicing the Bnei HaKrachim. And the Gemara based on that says, the Memra, Detakanta deKrachim Avol. Based on that statement, then the truth is that the whole benefit of this Takana goes to the Krachim. If the beneficiaries are the Krachim, then why should it be that the Kfarim don't go back in many more cases? And that's what the Gemara asks here. Va'atanan, our Mishnah says, Chaliot b'sheni, if it falls out on a Monday, Kfarim v'ayarot gudolot korim bo bayom. The Kfarim and ayarot read on that day itself. V'imito, if you're correct, that the whole point of giving them this dispensation is for the benefit of the city, the kadmo l'yom haknisa. Let them go back to Thursday, the Thursday before for the Kfarim, and then on the Monday it'll be the ayarot gudolot. Where it says you can't do that because Havalu Asara. That would have been the 10th of Adar. Asara lo taginu Rabbanon. That's not one of the days that the Rabbanon established for the Kriyat HaMegillah. Where it says, okay, what about this case? Tashma, Chaliot B'chamishi. If Purim falls out on Thursday, Kfarim Vayarot Gudolot Korim Bo Bayom. They read on that day itself. Vimita, again, if you are correct, that the beneficiaries are the Krachim or the cities, the Kadmu L'Yom HaKnisa, let them go back to Monday, which is the 11th, which is one of the days that is approved by Chazal. So the Gemara says, "Miyom haKnisa, Yom haKnisa, lo dachinan." We don't move from one Knisa to another day of Yom haKnisa. Tashva, Amar Rav Yehuda, imatay b'makom shenichnasim b'sheni b'chamishi. When does this whole din apply with regards to the Yom haKnisa? That's only in a place where the villagers come in on Mondays and Thursdays. If b'makom shenichnasim b'sheni b'chamishi. In places where they do not travel in on Mondays and Thursdays, Em Korin Yatala Bismanat, and they have to read on the 14th, there's no such dispensation to come in on Yom HaKnisa. If you say the whole point of this Gzeira was to help out the major cities, just because the villagers don't show up on Mondays and Thursdays in this city, the people of the city lose out? They're supposed to be the beneficiaries here. So why should we change the din in favor of the Kfarim, who don't show up on Monday, Thursday, so there's no benefit to them showing up or making the Migra Migdala Monday and Thursday, then why don't we say, because it's for the Krachim, there is some benefit, and we should force them to go on to Mondays and Thursdays. The Gemara says, Lo tema kadeshi sapku mayim mazon. You have to change the reason here. It's not so that they should supply or bring mayim mazon. Ela ema bibnei, shim is sapkim mayim mazon achem shivikrachim. Not today, in order that they will do this. It's not, we're not giving them the dispensation to be on Yom HaKnisah so that they will then do something that's to the benefit of the Kohanim, but rather, the reason that they get this is because that's what they do. They are mitzapeik, mayim mazon achem shel kohanim, and as Rashi says, their reward for the fact that they supply the cities is that Chazal were mekil on them with regards to Mikra Megillah, that they can move it back to the Yom HaKnisah. Right, so now the Gemara says, Ketzad, chaliot b'sheni b'shabbat, farim v'yarot g'dolot korim bo b'yom. The first example that's given in the Mishnah, after the Mishnah tells us that you read on the 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th, and 15th, is a case where it falls out on a Monday. Gemara says, why in the beginning of the Mishnah does it list out the day of the month in which you read the Megillah? The 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th. Mishnah Seifa, when it comes to the examples the Mishnah gives, it follows the days of the week. Because it says Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, goes through all the cases where the Din of Purim could fall out. So in the beginning of the Mishnah, we talk about the days of the month, and then in the middle of the Mishnah, we're talking about the days of the week. Why did you change the benchmark by which you are discussing this topic? Gemara says, because if you continue to follow the dates of the month, then you'd be all out of order. In order to get the 11th, that would be when Purim falls out on Sunday. In order for it to be on the 12th, that's when it falls out on a Tuesday, or it falls out on a Friday. So you have all these cases that'll be out of order, and it'll be much harder to remember it. So in order to give it some sort of order in which it will be easier for you to remember the halachot and to memorize the Mishnayot, and you won't get confused in your girsa, they switch the benchmarking from the day of the month to the day of the week to make it easier to remember. Right now, the Gemara continues, Chaliot be'erev Shabbat. When Purim falls out on Erev Shabbat, Matnitan Mani, who's the author of our Mishnah, that when it falls out on Erev Shabbat, that the Ayarot stay on the Friday, the Kfarim move back up to the Thursday, and the question is, what do the Kfarim do? What do the walled cities do in this instance? Because the walled cities are going to have their Purim fall out on Shabbat. So here the Gemara says, well, it's either what Rabbi says or what Rabbi Yossi says. My Rabbi, what does Rabbi say? The Tanya. Chaliot be'erev Shabbat, when Purim falls out on Friday. Kfarim v'ayarot g'dolot makdimim liyom haknisa. The villagers, as well as the big cities, unwalled cities, move back to Thursday. Umkafim choma korim bo b'yom. And the walled cities are bumped up to the 14th, and they read on the 14th. Rabbi Omer. Omer ani lo yidchu ayarot mimkoman. The cities don't move from their place. Why are you moving the cities? The cities belong on the 14th on the Friday. Elu ve'elu korim bo b'yom. The walled cities and unwalled cities read, everybody reads on the 14th on Friday, and the Kfarim back up to the Thursday. So my time at the Tana Kama, why does the Tana Kama say we bump everything up a day? Tichtiv, b'chol shana v'shana. In the Megillah it says, in each and every year. Ma'kol shana v'shana ayarot kodmot m'kufim. Just like in every other normal year, the 14th, or the unwalled cities, takes place before the Purim of the walled cities on Shushan Purim on the 15th. So, just like Kol Shana V'Shana, Ayarot Kodmot Mukafim, Afkan. So too in this year, Ayarot Kodmot Mukafim. How do I facilitate that? I move the unwalled cities back to Thursday, and I move the walled cities on to Friday. Ve'ema B'Kol Shana V'Shana, why don't you say it this way? Ma B'Kol Shana V'Shana Nidachim Ayarot Mimkomam. That in every other year, the Ayarot stay in place on the 14th. Afkan, so too in this scenario, lo yidchu ayarot mimkoman, that the ayarot shouldn't move from their place and stay on the 14th. It says, shani hocha, here it's different, to lo efshar. You have no choice, you have to do something, so therefore you have to give up the fact that the ayarot normally have the 14th, and they're going to have to give it up this year. For Rabbi, my time, b'chol shana b'shana. So Rabbi's, what's the reason behind Rabbi's position? It's because b'chol shana b'shana. Ma'chol shana b'shana ain ayarot nidachin mimkoman. Just like in every other year, the cities are not moved from their specific location, meaning on the 14th. Avkan, lo yitchu ayarot mimkoman. So too, here, the city shouldn't be bumped off the 14th. So be'ema, why don't you say like the Tana Kama, b'chol shana v'shana, ma'chol shana v'shana, ayarot kodmot b'kofim, avkan, nami ayarot kodmim b'kofim. Why don't you say like in every other year, the unwalled cities go before the walled cities? So too, over here, you should say the same thing. And you should have to bump up the Ayarot, because the way Rabbi has it is everybody, both the walled and unwalled cities, are celebrating on the 14th on Friday. So shani hachi the lo'efshar, and then it's the lo'efshar. So again, when they created a paradigm from other years, you have to pick one thing that you simulated from other years and one thing that you differentiated yourself from other years. And basically the answer why they didn't pick the other person's position is because shani hachi the lo'efshar. It's impossible to have it be exactly like the way it is in every other year. Since it's impossible, you have to come up with some solution. Which is the solution before? The Tanakhama says the solution is to pump everybody up a day. Rabbi's solution is to put the walled cities together with the unwalled cities. Now, my Rabbi Yossi. What is Rabbi Yossi? We said that the author of our Mishnah could either be Rabbi, which we just discussed now, that Rabbi says that the Mukafot Choma moved back from Shabbat to Friday. So what's Rabbi Yossi where he says the same thing? The Tanya, Chaliot Ber of Shabbat. Again, where Purim falls out on a Friday, Mukafim Ukfarim Makdimim Leyom HaKnisa. The villages and the unwalled cities move back to Thursday. Ve'ayrot Kodolot Korim Bo Bayom. And the big cities, the unwalled cities, read on that day. So meaning the villages and the walled cities back up to Thursday. And the unwalled cities remain on Friday. Rabbi Yossi Omer, En Mukafin Kodmin La'irot. The walled cities never go before the unwalled cities. Elu ve'elu korim bo b'yom. Similar to what Rabbi said, both the walled and unwalled cities read on Friday itself. So my time at the Tanakhama, what's the reasoning behind the Tanakhama's position? Dichtiv. B'chol shana v'shana. Again, this parallel to other years. Mako shana v'shana ayarot be'arba'asar. Just like on every other year, the unwalled cities read on the 14th. Uzmano shozeh lo zmano shozeh. And the 14th and 15th, walled cities and unwalled cities have differentiated days. Savkan ayarot be'arba'asar. So to hear, the ayarot, the cities stay on the 14th like they are in every other year. Uzmano shozeh lo zmano shozeh. And in addition to that, we ensure that the walled cities and unwalled cities have a different day. How do we do that? We move the walled cities back to Thursday in order to facilitate that. Vema b'chol shana v'shana, why don't we invoke this principle? Ma kol shana v'shana ein mukafim kod min la'erot. In every other year, the walled cities do not precede the unwalled cities. Afkan. So too in this year. Again, mukafim kod min la'erot. So too in this year, you shouldn't have the walled cities before the unwalled cities. My answer is the same way as it did before. Shani hachad l'efshar. Something has to give here, because it's different than any other year. My time with the Rabbi Yossi. What's the reason behind Rabbi Yossi's position? It's the same reasoning as behind Rabbi's position, which is b'chol shana v'shana. Just like in every other year, the walled cities do not precede the unwalled cities. Afkan. In Mukafim Kod Min La'erot. The walled cities can't go on Thursday because they can't be before the unwalled cities. They have to be together on the same day in order to facilitate that the walled cities are not before the unwalled cities. Sveima b'chol shana v'shana. Again, the same question we'd ask here. Why does he hold like the Tanakhama? Ma, kol shana v'shana, zmano shozeh, lo zmano shozeh. In any other given year, the 14th and 15th are separate, meaning walled and unwalled cities have different days. So then, Afkan, so too over here, in Mukafim, kod min la'ayarot. So too over here, you should say that the Mukafim are not before the Ayarot. I'm sorry. Afkan, zmano shozeh, lo zmano shozeh. So too in this year, you should say the same thing, that they shouldn't have fallen on the same day. My answer is like it did before, shani hachad l'efshar. It's impossible. Since it's impossible, we have to have something give. And what's giving here is that the 14th and 5th, the 5th, 14th will hold both the walled and unwalled cities together. Mer says now, V'sarva Rabbi Ayarot lo dachin on the Yom HaKnisa. Does Rabbi really hold that the cities don't back up to the Yom HaKnisa? V'atanya. Chaliot b'Shabbat, if Purim falls out on Shabbat. Kfarim makdimim the Yom HaKnisa, the villagers go back to Thursday. V'ayarot gidolot, korim be'erev Shabbat. The large cities read on Erev Shabbat, the Mukafot Choma, the Machar read on Sunday. So Rabbi Omer, Ani, Rabbi says, I say, Omer Ani, Hoyo v'nidchua yarot b'imkoman. Once you're already going to bump the major cities, unwalled cities, out of their place, because they can't read on Shabbat, idchul l'goyom ha'knisa, you may as well make it convenient and put it on the Thursday and not on the Friday. So you see from here that Rabbi is willing to move the ayarot from their place back to Yom HaKnisa. So why don't you say the same thing here? When it falls out on Erev Shabbat, they should bump it back to the Thursday, even for the unwalled cities. It says, how are you comparing cases? Hatam zmanam Shabbati. There, the proper time is on Shabbat. Once you take it off of Shabbat, then it's not as relevant as to where you put it. You put it on Friday, you put it on Thursday, it makes no difference. V'hocha zmanam Erev Shabbat. On the other hand, in the case that we just brought on these brightot, Erev Shabbat was the 14th, and that is the Zman Ayarot. And if it's the Zman Ayarot, we're not going to move it. So it's one thing, if it's on its time and its proper time, there we're going to leave it in place, we're going to leave it the way that it's structured. I mean, leave the 14th on the 14th, and the unwalled cities on that 14th day. But in a case where you have to move Purim off of Shabbat, so then once you have to move it, then it was taken out of its man. Why does it matter where it lands? Now Gemara says, "Kaman azla adam Rabbi Chelbo, Amar Rabbi Huna, Amar Rabbi Huna. Purim shechal yot b'Shabbat. When Purim falls on Shabbat, Hakol nidachim liyom haknisa. Everybody goes back to the Thursday. Hakol nidachim. Sakadat chakun mean everybody goes back to Thursday. Vayikem mukafin. What about the walled cities? The avdei lemachar they do it on Sunday. El kol anitche yitche liyom haknisa. Anybody who gets moved goes back to the Yom HaKnisa. Once you're getting moved already, you may as well go back to the Yom HaKnisa, or you must go back to Yom HaKnisa. Kaman, who's that like? Rabbi. That's like Rabbi, who says that when you move it off of Shabbat, you move it back to Thursday. Now the Gemara says, from everything we said till now, the Kuli Alma Mia, Megillah B'Shabbat Lo Karinan. Everybody seems to agree that we don't read the Megillah on Shabbat. It's just a question of what you do when it falls out in that situation. But the consensus is that Megillah is not written on Shabbat. My time, huh? What's the reason? I'm a rabbi. So here it's the famous Gzera de Rabbo, which is a kol chayavim b'mikra Megillah. Or every kol chayavim b'kriyat Megillah. Everybody is obligated to read the Megillah. Ve'en akol b'giyim b'mikra Megillah. And not everybody knows how to read the Megillah. Gzera shem yitnana b'yado v'yelech itzel baki v'mod v'vireno dal ramod b'shut arabim. Because maybe you'll take it over to an expert to learn how to lane it, how to read it properly. He'll end up carrying it for a mot in reshut arabim. So in order to prevent that from happening, or that mistake from happening, we eliminated the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah on Shabbat. Vayinu taima deshofar, vayinu taima dulalav. This is the same reason that Rabba brings by why we suspend the blowing of shofar on Shabbat. The same reason that we don't take the arba minim or the lulav on Shabbat itself, because shema yavirenu dalet amot birshut harabim. Because maybe you come to carry it dalet amot birshut harabim. Each one of them for a slightly different nuanced reason, but for generally the same reason, which is we're afraid that you're going to need help. And when you need help, you're going to carry the object to go get the help, and that's going to have you do an Aveira d'Oraita of carrying on Shabbat in order to accomplish the mitzvah, and we don't want that, so we suspend the mitzvah when it comes to these holidays falling out on Shabbat. Now Tosfos points out that why aren't we worried about the fact that he might carry it from Reshut HaYachid to Reshut HaRabim? Why aren't we worried about it carrying it for Amot to Reshut HaRabim? So he gives two answers over here. One is that people don't make mistake between Reshut HaYachid to Reshut HaRabim. That's usually clearly delineated and easily understood. But carrying it out Amot to Reshut HaRabim, that's more amorphous. And since more amorphous, people are more likely to violate that Isur because there's no defining line that's easy to see. In addition, Tosfos brings a different region, which is there are many times when you go from Reshut HaYachid to Reshut HaRabim where you will not be chayav, because you lack Melechet Makshevet, and since you lack Melechet Makshevet, you will not end up being chayav. So it's not a given, just because you go from Reshut HaYachid to Reshut HaRabim, that you're going to be chayav, versus in Reshut HaRabim, where you're more likely to be chayav if you carry Dal Ramot, Reshut HaRabim. The Yosef Amar, Mipnei She'ne'em Shani'em Nisuot, Mimikra Megillah. Yosef gives a different reason from Rabbah, and says, the reason that we don't read Megillah on Shabbat is because the poor people are expecting to get their tzedakah, and they associate the receipt of the matanot evyonim with mikra megillah. So therefore, whenever you read the megillah, that's when the matanot and evyonim are going to be. Well, if you read the megillah on Shabbat, there's going to be no matanot evyonim. And that's going to be a problem for the aniyim, because that's what they look forward to. That's what they are waiting for. So based on that, we wouldn't read the megillah on Shabbat, and that's true in Purim Meshulash as well. We wouldn't read the megillah on Shabbat. Therefore, also, the matanot and aniyim go along with it, when you have Purim Mishulash, or in a case here where you move the Mikra Megillah because of Shabbat in order to ensure that the Matanot Evinim come at the time that you're reading the Megillah. Now, according to Rav Yosef, it seems that Rav Yosef's reasoning is unique to Megillah. It doesn't apply to Lulav, and it does not apply to Shofar. So you have to say that Rav Yosef is not disagreeing with Rabbah's position, or the way that Rabbah says it's Asur, or makes it Asur in Shabbat. He's actually adding in just an additional dimension by Megillah as to why this is the case. And I'll have an nafka mina in cases where we have to move Mikra Megillah, or you want to know when Matanot and Neim are given. Like for the Kfarim, it's given when they read the Megillah. So Tanya Nami Ochi, we have a bright that supports that. Afu Pisha Kfarim Magdimim Leyom HaKnisa, Govim Bo Beyom Mechalkim Bo Beyom. When it comes to the Kfarim, the little villages, when they move back to Yom HaKnisa, the Monday and Thursday, not only do they read the Megillah on that day, but they also give their matanot evyonim on that day. So that on that day, they give their matanot evyonim, and it's distributed by the leaders of the community on that day to aniyim, because the aniyim say mikra Megillah equals tzedakah. Mikra Megillah equals Matanot Evyonim. And so because of that connection, whenever there's Mikra Megillah, we're going to have the Matanot Evyonim have to be there, and that would preclude us from doing that on Shabbat. So Gemara says, what do you mean, Afalpi Shamru? Why does it mean, even though they said? Adarabah, Mishom Damru. It's not because Afalpi, it's because, even though they said. It's because they said if they move up to Monday, Thursday, that's why you have to bring the Matanot Evyonim on that day. So Gemara says, Elahov Amru. So you have to reread it, or amend it to read it this way. Since they said, Shukfarim Makdimim Yom HaKnisa, they move back to Monday, Thursday, Govim Bo Bayom, Umechalkim Bo Bayom. You collect and distribute the Matanot Evyonim on that same day that you read the Megillah. Because the poor people are looking forward to Mikra Megillah because they know that they're associated with Purim and Mikra Megillah is Matanot Evyonim. Aval, Simcha Einu Heged El Bizmana. The Simcha is done in its proper time. What's its proper time? That is the Machal, the Mishteh, that is done in its time. So even for the Kfarim who move up their Mikra Megillah to Monday, Thursday, that's only true for Mikra Megillah and Matanot Evyonim. But with regards to Su'uda, and Mishloach Manot Ish Nerei Eyu, they are done on time. They're done in their proper time because there is no reason to move them for the Bnei HaKfarim because they're not correlated or connected to Mikra Megillah and therefore they'll remain on the proper day of the 14th, even for the Bnei HaKfarim. So now we can just do this one quick sugya between here and the Mishnah, which is Amarav. Megillah Bizmana Kurim Ota Afilu Biyachid. If you read the Megillah in its proper time, then you read it even biyachid. You can even read it without a minion. Shalom bizmana, when it's not in its proper time, basara, you require 10. Ravasi Amar, ben bizmana, ben shalom bizmana, asara, you always need 10. So Ravasi's position is pretty straightforward, which is that you need pesume nisa. And since you need pesume nisa, you need 10. So you need 10, whether you're reading it on the 11th, 12th, or 13th, or whether you're reading it on the 14th, doesn't matter. You need the pesume nisa, you need a minion for any of these instances. Rav's position, on the other hand, he says that when it's not the major day of Purim, it's not the 14th, then you're right. Eino chanami, you do require a minyan, but when you're reading on Purim itself, you do not require a minyan. As Rashi explains over here, because hakol korim bo, everybody's reading on that day, v'ikah persume neis. The fact that you're doing something that everybody else is doing is inherently persume nisa. On a day that contextually is not Purim, like the 11th, 12th, and 13th, over there, in order to have Pesume Nisa, you need a minion. But on Purim itself, which the day itself is a day of Pesume Nisa, then the mere fact that you're participating in the day with everybody else by reading the Megillah, even if you're reading it to yourself, that's enough of a Pesume Nisa because of the context of the day. So that's why you need to explain Rav's position over here, why he differentiates between the two. So have Ovda, v'chashli Rav, the Hadar Ravasi. There was this incident in which he was reading it bizmana, and he insisted there was a minion like Rav Asi. So it says, "Umi amar Rav Hachi." Does Rav really say this? "Farmer Rav Yehuda braid the Rav Shmuel bar Shilat mishmei the Rav Purim shchaliot b'Shabbat. When Purim falls out on Shabbat, erev Shabbat zmanam. Erev Shabbat is its proper time. Erev Shabbat zmanam. Erev Shabbat is the proper time. By Shabbat zmanam. What are you talking about? Shabbat is the 14th. Who elalav Hachi kamar? Isn't this what it means?" Shalom bizmanam kizmanam. Even though you're moving it from the 14th of Shabbat back to the Friday, the 13th, it'll be kizmanam. Mazmanam afilu biyachid, af shalom bizmanam afilu biyachid. Just like in a zman, you would read it as an individual without a minion. Af shalom bizmanam. Even when it's not its time, afilu biyachid. Gemara says, lo. No, you made the wrong conclusion from this. Linya mikra migilah basara. It's nothing to do with this issue of reading the Megillah with 10. Ella. My Erev Shabbat Zmanam. So then what is meant by the statement that Erev Shabbat is its proper time? Afuke mid Rabbi. It comes to exclude Rabbi. Damar ho v'nidchu ayarot mimkomam yidachu le'yom ha'knisa. Rabbi, you said before that once you're moving Purim already off of Shabbat, you may as well move it back to Thursday and not onto Friday. So this opinion says no. The Zman, the proper Zman for them, is on the Friday when the 14th falls out on Shabbat. And since that's their proper time, we don't move it back to Thursday, we leave it on the Friday. And that's what it's coming to teach you. That's the Kamash Valon, that Erev Shabbat is its proper time, and therefore there's no reason to move it off of that point in time. As far as Psak Halacha, Tosafot says over here, that Rabbi Yochanan later on the Masechta agrees with Rav, that you do not require a minion. Number two is Rav Asi is a Talmid of Rav. So if we have Rav and Rav Yochanan in one shita, and Rav Asi is a Talmud of Rav arguing, then we're going to opt towards the position of Rav in that case. And therefore, when you don't read it on the 14th, which we don't do today anyway, you would need a minyan. On the 14th, you should have a minyan. The best thing is to have a minyan, but if it's impossible and you can't get a minyan, then if you read it b'yachid, you're still, you'd say the mitzvah, because l'chatchila, you require a minyan, but b'diavad, you do not require a minyan. And it seems that, according to Rashi, even Rav Asi agrees to that. In the end, Rav Asi is only talking about the chatchila, you should get a minyan, but b'diavad, that you don't require a minyan, and that's what his position was over here. Okay, we'll stop with that.